This month we've been walking with Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. Incidentally, it just hit me, the irony, Mark, of you reading the Gospel. So thanks for Mark reading the Gospel of Mark. I don't know we can do that every week, but that was lovely. Pastor Shirley reminded us of the gift of our baptism as beloved of God, called to care for others. Last week, Pastor Kevin invited us not just to follow Jesus, but to go with Jesus in catching others in that act of fishing. So quickly, in Mark, we've moved from baptism to action. And the Gospel of Mark is not only the shortest Gospel at 678 verses, it's also the quickest of the Gospels. Everything happens immediately. That word actually occurs 27 times in only 16 chapters. It's 35% of the whole Bible that word occurs in Mark. In Mark, Jesus is moving. There's work to be done. There's gospel to be shared. There's lives to be changed. There's love to be shared. There's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Immediately, he says. So I can recall that it was a fall evening about 6 years ago, and it was unique because all of us were home. Steve and I were making dinner together, and a much younger Elizabeth and Felicity, no Peter yet, were playing on the kitchen floor, and there was a knock on the back kitchen door. It was at that point I noticed how dark it had become. You know, in the late fall when it starts to get dark quickly, we'd gotten absorbed in the ordinary noises. The sautéing on the stovetop, the children's chatter and the Lego clinking on the linoleum floor, the chopping vegetables on the counter. We almost missed the knock, knock, knocking on the door. And when we looked up, there was a young man at the storm door with a hooded sweatshirt over his head and his hands buried in his pockets. And desperation and distress kind of seeped through all the windows of our windowed kitchen in that house. There, the parsonage was right across the street from the church, and it shared a parking lot. There was no doubt in that community where the pastor lived. He stood at the door in an uncompromising kind of a way. Our ordinary night kind of made me uncomfortable. As I went to the door, I closed it behind me and caught Steve's eye. Steve moved the girls to a different space and turned down the heat on the stove and kept an eye on our exchange. "Pastor," the young man whispered, "I need to get to New York. I need to get to Maine. I need money." I kind of looked around, taking it all in. There was no car anywhere. Now, we lived in a remote community. There was one road in. We were the only church in town. And I kind of walked through scenario after scenario of how this was going to unfold in my mind. And I have to tell you, fear after fear kind of flashed before my eyes. It felt like hours in this exchange. "Pastor," he whispered. I hadn't responded quite yet. doesn't God help people? You help people. Won't you help me? I began to kind of inquire about his situation gently, to no avail. The usual questions and methods weren't quite working. I motioned to Steve, who'd been watching dutifully from our many windows in that kitchen, and we agreed Steve would get him a sandwich. I'd give him $20, and Steve drove him to the next town where he'd continue his journey there. I have to tell you, the moments from their departure till Steve's return drug on like days. Friends, I prayed with such fervor and such focus. Those uncomfortable moments drug out fear and horror in my mind. I concocted dreadful scenarios. You're with me, I can tell, in that moment. But in the end, the drop-off was uneventful, and it was dotted with minor gratitude on this young man's behalf. You see, you and I find ourselves hoping that there are no uncomfortable moments. We do. We find ourselves hoping there are no uncomfortable encounters, that there's nothing that has suffering, that there's nothing that has pain, that there's nothing that has heartache. Our gospel lesson today, our life experiences teach and confirm something quite different from our best hopes. You see, when you and I follow Jesus, we find ourselves in places where we know that there is suffering and when there is pain, that there is uncomfortability and there is heartache. We live in a world where there is not yet the kingdom of God on earth, even though we pray for it and work for it each and every day. Jesus was teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath when the spirit of evil found him. There was healing work to be done. There was teaching work to be done. We don't hear him stop and debate with the theological premise or squabble over exactly what was going on. We hear him proclaim 7 words. Be still and come out of him. And the man was released from what held him back. Who was that man? Could have been someone from outside the community, sure. Could have been someone who never set foot in the synagogue before, like my young man passing through that little community. Could well have been. But just as likely, it was a regular. Someone who knew the synagogue quite well. Someone who grew there, one of the congregation who came and said, I'm hoping Jesus is going to heal me today. Can you imagine coming to the synagogue, the church, hoping for your life to be changed, God's presence and power to be real, and life transforming. Now I want to notice just a couple things with you. Notice it was never the person who was the evil. It was never the one who made the other people in the synagogue a little bit uncomfortable who was cast out. It was that which was in him that was. This is a hard line and a distinction to make, I understand. And in shorthand, we tend to lose the distinction and find ourselves pointing fingers at each other. I get that. Also, don't lose sight of the fact that the restoration of the man who appeared disturbed was a part of the story. His division from the community never was the end of the story. Even though he was initially outside of the synagogue, he was ultimately restored back into the community. You see, following Jesus is living in these uncomfortable places, bringing peace and pointing to where God already is. Now, I have to tell you, this ending sounds kind of neat and tidy, doesn't it? You and I are probably still living in most of our stories. They don't sound quite as neat and tidy as this. I've had the chance to watch a little bit of television in the last couple of weeks, as it turns out, and one of the series I enjoy, maybe you know it, is a series called Call the Midwife. Maybe you know this one. It's based on a 1950s East End of London, where midwives, nurses, get to provide public health care to some poor neighborhoods. And they also get to go into some of the most uncomfortable situations where people are the most real about where life hurts the most. Together, midwives and doctors navigate the grayest of situations. Well-trained nurses have to swallow gag reflexes to dress open war wounds. Some of them are physical. A whole bunch of them are emotional, as well as deliver babies in situations that you and I probably would prefer didn't happen altogether. One early episode, as a midwife negotiating a situation by herself with a woman who doesn't share the language, has just had a concussion, a baby who's being delivered 10 weeks too early, and it's her 25th pregnancy. You heard me, 25th pregnancy. Uncomfortable situations, to say the least. But these themes are found, you all know them. They're found other places, too. You've seen them in our lives and in other places. You've watched where we're in the most uncomfortable situations to seek to change and save and transform lives. Ordinary people struggling with and against the impulse to avoid the challenge altogether. Not every story ends neat and tidy, not even on TV. So my friends, this is where Jesus finds us. Finds us wishing we didn't hear what our cousin said when she said, "I'm not sure how to cover both the propane delivery and the car inspection this month. What should I do?" Jesus finds us not sure how to tiptoe into a conversation about addiction and the impacts on family that's no longer happening somewhere else, although it never really wasn't happening here, too. Jesus finds us wishing to avoid the whole thing altogether and not sure what to do about the movement in our soul from the Holy Spirit that says you have some work to do because you're being called to walk in those uncomfortable places with the people in your lives. You see, friends, following Jesus is moving beyond the comfortable. Sometimes it's tiptoeing, and sometimes it's jumping in with both feet, embracing awkward silences in the name of compassion and hesitation in the name of empathy. It's listening for the word of God in challenging situations and sharing it even when you're not sure how it might be heard. You know, prophets aren't always well received. That's the story we heard in Deuteronomy, the story that Jesus' disciples heard, and the one that stirs us today. In Deuteronomy, we heard the people say, "Don't ever let God speak to us directly, only let the prophets talk to us. God's self is too scary. Only let the prophets speak to us." God, as a loving God, said, "Okay, I'll give my word to the prophets." As we live a life, you and I, in which we too see some suffering and see some pain, see some heartache and see some evil, see some sin that separates us from God, we too sometimes find ourselves saying, Where is this God in the midst of all of this? Why is it sometimes uncomfortable to the point of unfair and painful to the point of almost breaking? Where is God in the midst of it?" Listen, friends, for the prophets who say this, God is always in the midst. God has always been here in the midst. When you doubt and when you distrust, and when you despair, God has always been here in the midst of that pain. So my friends, we walk together. We are called to be those who bring and point to God's peace in the uncomfortable places we find ourselves, even the ones that are still in progress. We are called to point to the God who has always been present, God who has not left us, called to follow Jesus even when our voices falter, our knees shake, and aren't quite sure how it's going to work out because God's kingdom isn't fully here yet on earth as it is in heaven. But God is still calling us to point to where we see God, not to run and hide, not to hoping we never find any uncomfortable places, but rather to point to the transformation that God is still doing among us. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news in process among us of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.